And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to KKZZ, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, positive talk radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme in the second hour is Luck, Pluck, and Donate a Buck. Each of my guests is talking about their expertise in one of these areas. My first guest looked at charitable donors who do more than donate money towards causes. He examined the six practices of donors who changed the world and drew some conclusions about philanthropy in the United States. My next guest is an innovator, an instigator, an evangelist, a serial entrepreneur, a best-selling author, and a highly visible spokesperson for technology and how it can improve our lives. We'll discuss how to wield the most influence in the digital age by enchanting customers from his latest book titled Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question of Guy Kawasaki, you can call us at 639-0008. Guy Kawasaki is the co-founder of alltop.com, which is an online magazine rack of popular topics on the web, and he's also a founding partner of Garage Technology Ventures. Previously, he was a chief evangelist for Apple Computer, not once, but twice. Guy is the author of 10 books, including his most recent one, Enchantment. A couple of others that I have on my bookshelf include Reality Check, The Art of the Start, Rules for Revolutionaries, How to Drive Your Competitors Crazy, Selling the Dream, and The Macintosh Way. Guy has his BA from Stanford University and his MBA from UCLA, as well as an honorary doctorate from Babson College. In his official biography, however, it doesn't state that he's a big-time hockey player, fan of the game, and a Wayne Gretzky admirer. And here's the tie-in to Ventura County. Wayne's son plays baseball at Cal Lutheran University in Ventura County. Welcome to the show, Guy. How are you today?
Hi, fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing terrific.
You know, the only place you can play hockey down there is in Oxnard, right?
That you've got it. Boy, you know the area. You did your research. And my producer's son plays hockey there every weekend, as a matter of fact. So good call on that one.
Well, they were going to go out of business, and then the community supported them. And there's two sheets of ice there. I play there when I spend the summer at UCSB.
Wow. Well, then you'll have to stop by the studio next time you're down here playing hockey. You know the history, boy. You are really tied into the local area. I love it. That is great. Well, listen, let's talk about your book, if we can, for a minute, because there are hundreds of books on influence, including the perennial classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Yep.
So why did you feel the time was right now for you to write Enchantment?
Well, Dale Carnegie, whose book I admire, he wrote his book before Twitter and Facebook.
Long before Twitter
and Facebook. Put it wildly. So that's one aspect. You know, I'm trying to update this for technology. And also, you know, honestly, in the last 80 years, we have had a lot of social psychology research that was not done at that point. I mean, imagine 80 years from now, a knock on wood, people would be saying Guy Kawasaki's classic book, Enchantment. But, you know, he did it before there was mind melds and, you know, mental telepathy. So surely it could be brought up to speed, and they'll be absolutely right.
All right, so you're looking ahead. I like that, and I like bringing it into the future. Now, one of the things that I've always found interesting, because typically business books are one category, personal development books are another category. You've combined the two in the one. So explain why the two go together now in the 21st century, whereas perhaps they didn't in the 20th century.
Well, I think it's very important that we get out of this recession funk and we stop being concerned with cutting costs and start being concerned with, you know, customer satisfaction and customer enchantment, to take us away from merely engaging people to enchanting people. And to do this, there is a skill set that, you know, Dale Carnegie pioneered. Robert Cialdini, a social psychologist out of Arizona, also did great work in this area.
And has been a guest on my show. Go on.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm a great admirer of his, and he even gave me a blurb. I mean, talk about a guy who, you know, arguably our two books will compete. His book is Influence and my book is Enchantment. But he gave me a blurb. He's advertised my book on his site.
Wow.
You know, this is a good lesson in enchantment, that people who are enchanting do not believe that the world is a zero-sum game. And if, you know, if they buy my book, it doesn't mean that they're not going to buy his book and vice versa. In fact, if they buy my book, there's so many references to his book, it might might cause people to buy his book even more.
There you go. It's a subtle sell, the way that you're doing it. Well, give us some examples, Guy, from the news, if you will, of people who weren't so enchanting and how it may have cost them, both in their careers and perhaps in their personal lives.
Well, first of all, it is not true that, you know, you have to be enchanting to succeed. I mean, you know, there are some people who, let's say, head some large technology firms that are very successful that you would hardly call enchanting. On the other hand, there are companies like Zappos and Virgin America and Apple that are very enchanting. So I don't mean to say that enchantment is the only way. It is a way. I think it is a very ethical way and an enjoyable way for both customer and company.
No, with that it is. We're talking to Guy Kawasaki, everybody, his latest book, Enchantment. And Guy, the three pillars on which your book is built are these: be likable, be trustworthy, and have a great cause. So let's break down all three of those if we can. So how do you train yourself to be likable?
Well, it starts with very basic things like a good smile, a smile that uses not only your jaw but your eyes. Great smilers have crow's feet, is a short way of saying it. So crow's feet is in. I mean, think of all the money your readers or your listeners will save on Botox and plastic surgery now. You want crow's feet. Crow's feet is great smile. Also, you have to have a good handshake. I mean, you know, this is blocking and tackling, but you'd be amazed at how many people don't do the blocking and tackling. A handshake that's firm and dry and, you know, 1 to 2 seconds long, where you're not too close to the person, you're not too far from the person, you're smiling at the person, you have a suitable greeting. You know, these are the basics of likability. And then as far as trustworthiness is all about thinking of the world as a non-zero-sum game. That is, you can benefit and I can benefit. The rising tide floats all boats.
No, that is good. And in the trustworthy segment, you've got a term there that I like, which is bake, don't eat.
Yes.
What do you mean by that so that my listeners get a better understanding?
Bake, don't eat means that there are two kinds of people in the world. One person sees the world as an eater. And as an eater, you say, limited number of pies, limited size of pies. I got to eat all the pie I can because anything I eat, my friends and my competitors can't eat, and vice versa. If they eat it, I won't eat it. So bakers, on the other hand, see the world as a world of opportunity where they can bake more pies and bake bigger pies. So generally speaking, the people who are trustworthy are bakers. They see the world as full of opportunity. I can bake more pies. I can bake bigger pies. While eaters are always trying to grab their little, you know, share of the world and keep it to themselves, and they believe that, you know, one person's gain is another person's loss. Those people are not as trustworthy.
All right. Well, sticking with trustworthiness, if we can, for just one more minute, Guy, in the pressure of the moment, how can you make sure that you remain trustworthy? Because business and even nonprofits, like we were talking about in our first segment, all kinds of pressures on you all the time. How do you keep your trustworthiness even in the heat of fire?
That is a very, very difficult thing to do. And, you know, every day, you know, wouldn't you think that after so many scandals and so many indictments and so many falls from power and grace, wouldn't you think that people would say, I can't do this, I shouldn't do this, I will be caught? I mean, to use a sports analogy, you know, every year you read about these cyclists who get caught using drugs, right? I mean, do they not read the newspaper? Do they not know that the previous year the winner got disqualified? And like, what goes through their brain to think that they can pull it off another year? So some of it is just, you know, being realistic and not delusional. I mean, it truly amazes me how people continue to get caught. And it would be, you know, the first time someone loses a title or loses a job, okay. But, you know, we're at the 50th time by now. I mean, what is it? So I think people have to resort to a moral compass. And I'll tell you, for most people, one of the best moral compasses is their wife.
Or their spouse, if they're female. Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true. I'm not saying that. If you are a woman, you should not use your husband as a moral compass. If you're a man, you can use your wife.
All right, so use your wife if you're a man. If you're a woman, what does that leave you out in the cold? You don't have a moral compass that you can fall back on?
No, if you're a woman, you should ask your girlfriend.
There you go. All
you
right.
You shouldn't ask a man.
Never ask a man. We're talking to Guy Kawasaki, everybody, author of the book Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. Guy, the last pillar is have a great cause. So, you know, a lot of people, and yourself included, have embraced the cause. But what role does persistence play when you have a great cause?
Persistence is everything. You know, enchantment is not magical. It's not something, I wish I could tell you that you could read my book and boom, you'd be enchanting. If it were that easy, I would sell my book for a lot more money. Enchantment is a process. It is a very good analogy is fitness. You know, every one of us would like to be as fit as Lance Armstrong, but we're not.
That's
some
right.
Some of it is DNA, but a lot of it is nutrition and level of activity. So you should think of fitness and enlightenment in the same way. Enchantment. And that you can be more enchanting. You can be more fit. You can also be less fit and less enchanting. So it's a process. It's a curve. You need to get on that curve and move up the curve.
All right. And you need to know, to move up the curve, you need to know where you are right now. And you have a tool for my listeners, how they can measure how enchanting they are on your Facebook page. Tell me about that.
Yes. It is a tool that you take a quiz, and at the end of the quiz, I tell you basically how enchanting you are. And most people score pretty low.
Well, now you're dissuading my listeners from going online and taking it. If they want to go online, where would you go?
You can go to GuyKawasaki.com or Facebook.com/enchantment.
All right, great. We're talking to Guy Kawasaki about his book, Enchantment. And Guy, in your book, you claim enchantment must possess three characteristics. It must be fast, it must be many, and it must be often. What do you mean by that? Explain that a little more fully.
It's actually, these are the recommendations for interaction on social media.
Ah.
So fast means that when someone writes to you, emails you, sends you a tweet or something, you have to respond within 24 to 48 hours. Many means that you respond to everybody, not just the A-listers, not just the important people, but if, you know, quote-unquote Lonely Boy 15 writes to you, you should write back because you just never know which Lonely Boy 15, an unknown person on the Internet, is going to make your product tip. And then as far as the last factor means that you should be engaging all the time and that it's not something that you do only when all the other work is done. You need to engage and enchant all the time. It is a process, and you have to be willing to grind it out.
And that is one of the lessons that I've learned from you. Guy, you're lighting up the phones. We've got Rick from Newberry Park wants to ask you a question. Hi, Rick. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
Terrific. What's your question for Guy?
Well, I tell you what, Mr. Kawasaki, it's a pleasure to listen to you, and thank you very much for being on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Help me again with your definition of zero-sum game theory.
Okay. Zero-sum game theory means that there's a limited amount of, well, I use the analogy of a pie, or let's say a limited amount of money. So if I win more money or I make more money, you have to, by definition, lose money because it's zero-sum. So
agreed.
This means that if you have this outlook on life, you're always trying to grab as much as you can for yourself. You never help others because if you help others, it means that they grab more, which means that you grab less.
So someone wins, someone loses.
Yes. And I don't think that's how life works. I think that life works, to use another analogy, a rising tide. So in a rising tide, you know, all boats float
all
higher.
All boats float, yeah.
Rick, thank you so much for the question. Thanks for being a loyal listener to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you very much. Be well.
Take care now. Guy, one of the things that I've always found interesting about the books that you've written is they're so engaging, and some would say enchanting, right? But tell us your secret to making your writing style so appealing to such a wide audience.
Oh, God. It's, I am the secret to my success, if there is a secret to my success, is that I am willing to grind it out. That's what I do. I grind. And there are some people who like to work hard, and there's some people who don't. And I love to work hard. I don't consider myself particularly, you know, smart or visionary or any of the other good stuff. I am just willing to grind.
Well, I think you're being unduly modest there, Guy. But you, to use a sports analogy, and since you like hockey so much, you're a winger. You like to go into the corners, grind it out, and get the puck in front of the net. I like that.
I do.
We're talking to Guy Kawasaki, author of the book Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. Guy, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Enchantment?
I want them to raise their expectation of what their relationships with people can be. And back in the 70s, Tom Peters introduced a book called In Search of Excellence.
Yeah, classic.
Right, and besides a book, I think it changed people's expectations of business. that until that book came out, you know, you thought a company could be successful, it could survive, it could make a buck. And then all of a sudden, Tom Peters changes the expectations of people. And now it's not enough to survive and make a buck. Now you have to be excellent. And I want to do the same thing. I want people who are today content to just engage with people and be friendly with people and, you know, close a few sales. I want them to ratchet it up, take it to the next level. And the next level is to enchant people, not just engage people.
Oh, that's a great ambition. Guy, what did you get from writing the book Enchantment?
Royalty.
All right, a pragmatic answer. Not an enchanting one, though.
Well, you know, one path to enchantment is to be honest. Can't get more honest than that, can you?
No, you can't. That is true. Did you take anything else away from it besides the royalties?
No, of course I did. I am trying to empower people, really. I'm trying to empower people so that they can change the hearts, minds, and actions of their customers. I want them to do it in an ethical way. In fact, I think I have one of the rare books. I spend 180 pages telling you how to be enchanting, and then I spend 20 pages telling you how to resist enchantment, because not everybody who tries to enchant you has your best interest at heart. So I realize that I'm putting a tool out there. I want people to also be able to resist the tool when they are convinced that the other person does not have your interest at heart.
Oh, very good. We've been talking to Guy Kawasaki, author of the book Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. Guy, if people liked what they hear from you, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Facebook.com/enchantment and also GuyKawasaki.com. Either one will get you all the information you need.
Oh, that's great. Guy, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Take care.